This fan-run podcast is brought to you by DraftKings.
Hour 2 kicking off in the fan-run studios. Hour 2 headlines. Draven.
We had some NBA news. Obviously had the big game last night. We'll talk about that a little bit later. But we also had the NBA draft lottery. Official. Number one pick. Headed to Detroit. Oh, boy. The Pistons. Sorry, they need this, man. Give the Pistons a little slack, man. They need this. They need the number one pick. They need somebody. They need Kate Cunningham to come in, save this franchise.
I know what I'm doing if I'm Detroit. It's not drafting Kate Cunningham.
Why is that? What's your plan?
If I'm Detroit, here's what I do. Okay, listen, here's what I do. If I'm Detroit.
Okay, here we go. Grand scheme.
I mean, just listen. You're going to hear probably, you know, the closer we get to the draft, you're going to be like, well, John was right. John's ahead of things as usual. Here's what I do, okay? Here's what I do. I make a phone call. Pick it up. I call up Sam Presti. I'm like, hey, Sam. Kate Cunningham played at Oklahoma State. We know you guys love him. We know you're doing this whole big thing.
Yep.
Trade us 2 first-round picks and give a shot Gilgeous Alexander and we'll give you back a play. We'll give you Killian Hayes and Kate Cunningham. Boom. Shot Gilgeous Alexander can go to Detroit. They get 2 extra first-round picks.
What's that getting you, though?
What do you mean?
Like, you get 2 first-round picks? I mean, there's not a guarantee those guys are going to be better than Kate Cunningham. Kate Cunningham's going to be pretty good.
Shai Gilgeous is pretty good. I mean, Shai Gilgeous, I mean, he might not be better than Kate Cunningham if Kate Cunningham pans out, but, like, that's a pretty good one in the bush type of scenario versus 2 in the hand. Like, you already have, or what is it, 2 in the bush, 1 in the hand? That's one pretty good one in the hand to have.
I don't know what you're talking about.
You never heard of saying 1 in the hand is better than 2 in the bush? Like, actually having a hold of something is better than looking at 2 things and maybe grabbing them. Never heard that?
No.
It's better to have something already in your possession. Shai Gilgeous is a pretty good player. He's still young.
Yeah, he is.
Again, I'm getting 2 extra picks on top of it. Go ahead. Call it in. And if you're Oklahoma City, like, you have all these extra draft picks for a reason, and they say they really want Cade Cunningham. They got all these extra picks they can package. What, Oklahoma City is picking, what, 5th?
Yeah, I think so.
6th? There you go. I mean, if you're Detroit, like, 5th. Moving back to 5th isn't that big of a deal? Or is it 6th? Is it 5th or 6th? I don't know. Wherever.
It is 6th.
I don't think it's that big of a deal to be like, hey, here's the 6th pick. And
don't they have 2 this year?
They got 3. Like, yeah, they got some at the top of the second. I mean, they got like 30 picks over the next 5 years. Like, package them together and move up and get the guy you want.
They pick at 16, 18. But I mean, these picks are pointless. Like, people at 16, 18, who are you going to get? You're not going to get anybody valuable.
Just young players for Oklahoma City. Like Oklahoma City,
Mitchell, you just need players.
Yeah, Detroit needs young players too. Like, Detroit, who does Detroit have now? Jeremy Grant? Like, he's not in their long term plans.
Sadiq Bey, Isaiah Stewart, all
right. I mean, none of these guys are like Sadiq Bey's a nice young piece, but like, I mean, you know, he fits with Shai Gilgeous' timeline. Like, I mean, like, that's what I do if I'm Detroit. If I'm Detroit, I'm trying to get as many like chances to have a superstar or chances to have good players.
What do you think about Kate Cunningham though? Just his,
like
his potential.
I like Kate Cunningham.
Okay.
I feel bad for Kate Cunningham being in Detroit. Like, if I'm Detroit, I'd already be worried that, like, my clock's starting with him. Where Shai Gilgeous is due, like, a big rookie max or a big rookie extension. Like, he's not going to turn that money in Detroit. And if he does, you're still getting those extra 2 first-round picks. That's what I would do. I think it makes sense for both sides.
Like, is Kate going to come out being better than Anthony Edwards and or LaMelo after the rookie year?
He's got pretty high expectations.
Like, it's pretty high.
Now, I don't know if he has the same type of game, though. Like, to me, from what I've watched at Oklahoma State, like, he's not going to be Anthony Edwards, like, shamelessly out there, like, trying to score 30 points a game.
Yeah,
true. He's not going to be LaMelo, like, out there, like, being, you know, flashy. Mm-hmm. Like, Kate Cunningham is an NBA player. Like, don't get me wrong, he's a stud, but, like, he's just going to be a guy that's going to go out there and get you maybe, like, 14-8.
Yeah.
5 rebounds and play, nice. Like,
play good defense.
Oh, yeah, no, like, I think he's a winning player, but, like, I just don't know if he's going to, like, would you say, be as good as those two? He's going to be better, but not as flashy, I would say.
Yeah.
But maybe he just comes out and just turns it on and is a stud. Who knows?
The one thing that's a little interesting for me when I'm seeing these lottery shakeups, Orlando has the 5-8 right now. And they got a nice – not nice. They got a bunch of young players down there after all the trades they made.
They got –
into something.
They felt a little screwed after yesterday. It could have been worse. At least they got to keep the Chicago pick, which, by the way, good job, Chicago, trading the number 8 pick for Vucevic and still not making the playoffs. And then I think you sell him a first-round pick next year, so good job on that.
Genius.
If I'm a Chicago fan, Chance, if you're listening, woof. No wonder do you hate the Hawks so much because you guys are stuck doing that. But, hey, at least you got Michael Jordan. But Orlando felt like they should have had, you know, they had better odds. They fell out of the top 4, so they felt a little screwed. But maybe if you're them, like, do you trade 5 and 8 and somebody for Ben Simmons? If you're Philadelphia, do you do that? If you're Orlando, like, if there's nobody, like, no superstars at number 5 or 8, like, you kind of need a star.
Yeah, I'm hearing it's a 5-player draft is what they keep calling it.
It went from 7 to 5. Like, yeah. At one point they thought it was a 7. And, like, I mean, which granted, I mean, I don't think any of us think Keon had the season we thought he would.
Yeah.
Like, I still think he can be a good NBA player, but, like, there was times before last year where they felt like he could be a number 1 or number 2 overall pick, and he never went to that level. Yeah. So
he's predicted at number 8.
Were you combining predicted and projected?
I was. Yes, I was.
It happens sometimes.
Yeah. A little tough. Words are tough. But, yeah, Keon projected to add 8 to the Orlando Magic currently.
See, yeah, I mean, if
it's not a bad spot for him to land.
Yeah. I mean, it's not, but if I'm Orlando, would you not rather have Ben Simmons?
Yeah. Simmons does seem like he would fit.
Would you, though? I don't know. I mean, Ben Simmons can't shoot. He literally can't shoot. Yeah.
According to everybody, there's dozens of teams looking for a trade for Simmons.
Which the Magic don't have any shooters on their team either. That'd be just a cluster. But like a
small upgrade from Markelle Fultz.
You just hit the reset button and build around Simmons the best you could. But I don't know. Like, the draft lottery was pretty interesting last night because you know, you had the Warriors get the Timberwolves pick. They avoided them staying in the top, I believe, 3 and keeping it. Mm-hmm. The Raptors, they're in a nice situation now to move up to 4. How maybe trade the number 4 pick and somebody for Ben Simmons? Like, that would make sense there in Toronto.
Yep.
As a kind of a buy low thing because they have enough veterans on their team still where they probably want to be competitive next year. The Cavs, I mean, oof. What the hell are they going to do?
I don't know.
Yeah.
I mean, like, are they going, like, because at number 3, they're going to either get a guard, and they already got Sexton and Garland.
They're going to get Mobley.
They got to get Mobley.
But do they not, like, they're not trying to buy low on, like, Jared Allen? Like, does Jared Allen not, like, kind of a, still a young piece they think they can plant around? Like, or, which, I mean, maybe he's not that guy, and maybe he still take Mobley. Like, I'm saying, like, I would imagine some type of trade is coming from Cleveland this year where they're getting rid of somebody.
You would think so.
They're just done. Thank God they won that one with LeBron. That's all you could say about Cleveland at this point.
Your boys.
Yeah.
They got enough guys to like make you think like do we draft over our guards like sex love man like we or sex land we thought those guys you know Sexton and Garland we thought they were good pieces and Jared Allen but wait do we just draft somebody better than them already weird for them Golden State at 7 you know maybe they could package number 7 and James Wiseman build something around that and you know maybe Wiggins to go try to get a star
Woj did tweet out though John the plan. For Kay Cunningham, is he will only visit the Pistons before the NBA draft. That's the only team he's going to visit.
I'm number one. I'm the number one pick.
I'm just saying.
Oh, yeah, no, it's bold, but just be like, no, I'm good. I'm not going to bother to go talk to anyone else. Yeah. Which, if I'm him, maybe you go and try to make somebody fall in love and trade up for me, but maybe he just is going to plan on going to talk to the Pistons and just completely tank the interview.
Yeah.
Just blowing it.
Yeah. Show up 20 minutes late.
I mean, sometimes Jalen Green could be a number one pick.
Sure.
G League star?
Yeah, sure. And, you know, people like Suggs, people like Mobley. There's a couple of big players at the top that people are excited about. It feels a lot like the 2018 draft where there's going to be, like, one bust in that top five. You just got to hope you're not the one that takes it.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
You can't take the Marvin Bagley. Don't take the Marvin Bagley Pistons.
Old bags.
I still would trade him to Oklahoma City. That's what I would do.
Okay, I like that. I'm into that.
Everybody to Oklahoma City.
He's potentially a lot better than Shea. Like, I just think you take a chance on this stud.
Sure.
Build around him a little bit. You never know.
I'd be getting, you know, 2 or 3 first round picks on top of it, though.
Yeah. Worked out for the Hawks when they did something.
Where did Shea get drafted?
He was like.
Like, was he
12
like
or 13?
Teams? Okay, that's what I thought. Okay.
He's like number 12 or 13 to the Clippers.
Mm hmm.
Yeah, good.
Any other headlines?
Yes, we have other NBA news. Some bad news. Alex Caruso, yikes, arrested and released on Tuesday for possession of marijuana, according to Texas A&M police. So I guess he was back on campus, living it up, big man on campus, but did not work out too well for Caruso. You think this is a big deal?
No. Give him street cred in the locker room, that's it.
Is that all this is?
Yeah, I mean, get in trouble for getting arrested for weed. I mean, that's not. It wasn't like he was riding around the trunk like Pablo Escobar. He didn't have like pounds on him of like meth or fentanyl. Like, he just had a little bit of weed on him.
Mm-hmm. Okay,
and he was just literally,
no one cares about weed in the NBA, bro.
I get it. No, it's fine.
I don't even think people care about weed in like America anymore.
What's he doing in Texas A&M, yeah, though? What's he doing back?
He went to school.
I know, but what are you doing back? Like,
visiting home, I guess.
You live in L.A. I don't know. Maybe, he was like on campus. It's like Texas A&M police got him.
He might want to go
like hanging out with some. Like, what's he doing?
What's his name? Buzz wants him around the program because Caruso's got some juice. Like,
sounds like he's really helping out.
Caruso,
you know?
I would imagine Caruso's probably kind of the man when he walks around Texas A&M.
Yeah,
probably.
He's been pretty visible. Like, you know.
Him and Manziel, biggest stars to come out of Texas A&M.
Manziel's probably got more. Manziel's got more juice, although it's kind of sad. Manziel probably goes to need an ego boost. Drives by there, like Mike Evans, Von Miller, and then like Caruso. Maybe that's it. Maybe he's like number four, number five on the pecking list.
And he literally just walked into the airport with it in his bag.
Yeah, tough L.
Come on. And plus, isn't it kind of weird that there's an airport located on the A&M property in College Station?
They have so much land. It's just
an absurd amount that I can't even fathom right now.
Yeah, there's like a whole legit golf course on the campus and everything. There's so much land out there. They don't know what to do with it, so they probably just like, let's put an airport in.
Why not?
Yeah.
Moving on in the NBA, Kevin Herter, your guys' boy. Did you guys hear that he has an alter ego? John, he has even a different name that some would even call him when he is lighting it up as he was in Game 7 over the Philadelphia 76ers. Did you guys hear this?
Kayvon Herter.
Kayvon. How about it?
Kayvon.
Wow. He said, it's like my alter ego. Some days when I come in, they think I'm playing well. They call me Kayvon.
Kevin Herter being a pasty redheaded guy in a predominantly black sport has probably heard that a bunch. I mean, I would say he, going on those AAU trips growing up, I would say Kayvon learned how to fit in and just, you know, he's always been the white boy, right? Like, he's always been the white boy. He's always been the white shooter. Yeah. Like, his favorite player growing up was Dwayne Wade. Like, I mean, like, Kayvon knows what's happening. He embraces it. And I'm sure he's the man in Atlanta, too. He embraces Atlanta. And the picture of him in the MLK jersey will still always be the funniest thing.
Yeah, that's great.
Kayvon.
He needs to take a trip down to, the Magic City? That where Lou Will always hung out in Atlanta?
I'm sure Kayvon's been there.
Oh, yeah.
Kevin doesn't go, but Kayvon goes. Kayvon's the man in Magic City.
Mm-hmm. They love them some Kayvon.
He said when he plays bad, he's Kevin.
That's great. Kayvon.
Any other headlines?
Yeah, I got one more for you. This is an interesting one, a strong statement from Steve Kerr. Been around, knows a lot, and seen both these guys firsthand pretty well. Comparing Michael Jordan to Kevin Durant, John. And he said that he thinks Kevin Durant is more gifted. He said, I really do.
He's 6'10" or 6'11" with like handles and can shoot. Like, I mean, like,
that's saying something is what he said. But Kevin is different, entirely different breed.
I mean, he's an alien. Like, there's been a lot of 6'6" guards who can jump in the NBA. That's what Michael Jordan was. I mean, obviously he was better than being able to jump.
I was about to say easy.
No, but I'm just saying, like, if you're looking at like physical like gifts, they're like, there's been a lot of NBA players that have had that same opportunity that didn't work as hard and hone their craft. Like, there ain't been as many like 6'11" like athletic guys that don't like come with a frame that hurts their knees and like breaks them down and like limits their athleticism. Like, Shaq would have grown out of that no matter what. Like, you know what I mean? Like, Giannis is the same way. Giannis, would you not say the same thing? Giannis is more physically gifted than Michael Jordan was?
Yeah.
No.
Just a couple of guys just like hit the genetic lottery. I mean, LeBron James is more gifted, I would say, than Michael Jordan is. I don't think that's a slight on Jordan. I think it would just add to the legacy of Michael Jordan.
Just he didn't have that advantage.
Yeah, I mean, like, you know, in the grand scheme of things, how hard was it for Shaq to be like as dominant as he was? To be athletic and 7'1" and like 300 pounds, like, I mean, you had a pretty big head start on a lot of people.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yep.
It's like one of those, you don't even have to go out every night and play your hardest. You're still going to be good just because of the way you're made.
Yeah, but also, I mean, I would say, like, ultimately, Shaq probably got hurt long-term because of that, because he didn't have to stay in shape and didn't, have to grind and work as hard as he did. Like, Shaq should have been the greatest player of all time. Instead, he's just a really, really great player that'll finish somewhere in the top 15 of all time when he probably should have been number one. Imagine giving Michael Jordan Shaq's work ethic. The other way around, giving Shaq Michael Jordan's work ethic. But the problem is, if he grew up bigger than everybody and more athletic than everybody his entire life, he might never have developed that work ethic. So I think that's fair to say.
Okay. What about just pure basketball talent? Still going KD?
No, I mean, I don't.
I think we can all admit, you know, Jordan's drive, whatever, yeah. Competitiveness, all that. You could all agree with Jordan, but I don't know.
Durant's pretty damn skilled. I mean, Durant's a better shooter, but I mean, Jordan. I mean, Durant's really good at defense too. But I mean, I don't know. Are we at that point already where we're gonna do the Jordan versus Durant?
We already off LeBron.
We doing that already? Good batch of headlines. Stick with us. It's Talk Sports on Fan Run Radio. All right, let's talk some hoops. Last night, another good game in the playoffs. Just another game down to the wire. It's a handful of them in a row going back to, what, I mean, basically game seven in Brooklyn. You've had just nail-biter after nail-biter pretty much. Big-time games. Last night, you had the Clippers and Suns going back and forth. Devin Booker overcoming a broken nose, hitting some clutch shots. Paul George overcoming being Paul George to hit some clutch shots. And then it all come down to about 30 minutes of reviews as the last 90 seconds came to a screeching halt. And you have a situation where the Clippers have a one-point lead.
Like, it was a good ending, but at the same time, a bad ending is how long that took.
Yeah, that was bad. Like, the replay is a bad day for replays. I mean, yeah. I get you want to get things right. I thought the Devin Booker overturn on his turnover was stupid, not in the spirit of the law.
Ridiculous, man.
Stupid rule. I hate that rule. The Suns turn it over. The Clippers get fouled. Paul George goes to the free throw line with a chance to go up three. Misses both of them.
Oof. Pulled a Joel Embiid.
Although at least Joel's was just to cut it from 3-1.
Yeah.
Paul George was to go up three and pretty much make sure they didn't lose in regulation. He misses. Even then, they get a stop. Ball goes out of bounds. We get another review. Gives the Suns, who have no timeouts, a chance to draw up a play. And it led to a beautiful pass from Jay Crowder right to the front of the rim. And DeAndre Ayton, who is quickly morphing into a star in these playoffs, looking like a number one pick, slams it home.
So quick. Such a quick dunk. Man. It's almost like you didn't even know what happened.
It's almost like you didn't even have to touch it for it to go in. Yeah, you just kind of literally had to just tap it. Like, it was
there.
It was a big moment. There is no goaltending on inbound plays. DeAndre Ayton finishes the game with 24 points, 14 rebounds on 12 of 15 shooting. Dunks over your boy, Zubac.
Whose boy?
Your boy.
How's that
Zubac?
My boy?
I go back to the Jazz series. You're talking about how good Zubac was.
I was saying he was giving it to Gobert at times in that game.
DeAndre Ayton gave it to him last night right on his head.
Yes, he did. He gave it to him the whole game.
Right on his head.
By the way,
the Suns now up 2-0.
Playoff P is going to look bad. The missed free throws are going to look bad. But let's not forget Cam. Cam had to shoot me a text about it, of course, had to come at me about playoff P.
It was the clutchest moment of the game, and he
Well, let's not forget he also had, 11 points in the fourth quarter, if I'm not mistaken? And he had, two very clutch buckets that put him in the lead both times.
He really had three clutch buckets down the last 4 minutes of the game. He hit a three that I think cut it from 6-3.
Yep.
Hit a layup to go up by one. Mm. Booker comes down, gives him the lead back. Good shot by Booker. Booker elevates so high on his shots. I don't know.
It's ridiculous.
I give Ty Lue a lot of credit for the adjustments he's made, but like that play alone makes me feel like they don't think Paul George is an elite defender anymore, because like Paul George has to be guarding Devin Booker in that situation, because
I don't know. Beverly was giving him.
He's too short, though. But he's too short. Like, you saw what happened.
Beverly was getting his head a little bit. He was getting physical with him. Busting up his nose.
I mean,
like,
that's 100% fine, and you're not wrong. Like, Booker didn't play a good game, but, like, when the game was on the line, Devin Booker just jumped higher than jumped higher than him. And, like, Beverly was there to block the shot, but he just couldn't jump as high. Like, Paul George, who was, like, what, 6'9, 6'8? I mean, however tall he is. Like, you have to put that size on Booker there. In my opinion, like, if you're going to be like thought of as a great perimeter defender, you have to be that guy. I don't care if Beverly's done good up until that point. Game's on the line. Like, that should have been Paul George guarding him. I thought Ty Lue dropped the ball there. Booker hits a shot. George came back, did hit another shot. So I'm not going to crush Paul George. I'm not going to talk about playoff P, even though, like, up until that three, he was 0 for, 7 from three?
Yeah.
Yep.
Not going to talk about that, because it was similar to what Trae Young had done in game 7. Where he didn't have the best shooting game and then came through in the clutch. So I thought Booker did the same thing. I'm not going to crush Booker because Booker had a bad game, but he made some big plays down the end. You're not going to play perfect every game, especially in the playoffs as these moments get more intense.
A win's a win.
A win's a win. And I was not going to crush playoff P, Draven. Notice I did not send a text to you.
You did not.
I'm not a hater. I've given Paul George credit. I thought Paul George deserved credit last night, but you can't outrun the playoff P.
Yeah.
History. That's what I felt bad for him. Because, I mean, 26 points, 6 assists, 6 rebounds. he gave them great opportunities to win that game. And then he had a chance to ice it. And
5 for 10 from the free throw line. And it's also worse when it's like you got people tweeting it out. You got SportsCenter, first thing they post. Oh, yeah. Paul George blows it in the clutch, basically.
That's
like,
what I was messing with you about, because I knew that was going to be the narrative everybody was going to go with just off the rip there. Because that's the thing people remember, is the last part of the game. Like you said, like he hit plenty of clutch shots in that quarter, but you just remember kind of that ending.
Well, it's also a thing when you're Paul George. Like, it's kind of what I got to whenever we're talking to Jazz. Like, he has to keep doing it.
Mm-hmm.
And he did do in that series. And that's why I'm not crushing him. I think he deserves one break here. Like, I'm not doing that. But, like, you saw everyone else do it. Like, it's back. And maybe he rebounds in game three and, you know, comes and continues to play well. Or maybe he kind of steeps back into his shell of, like, oh, wait, here I am. I'm a choker again.
Anybody's to blame in Subog. It is. Like, the center presence is nothing. DeAndre Ayton was literally owning him throughout the whole entire game.
I'd blame DeMarcus Cousins, too. They brought him in on that alley-oop, and he's just kind of standing there, not even blocking, not even in the way, not doing anything at all. Then pushes Devin Booker. Like, what are you doing? Like, why are you pushing Devin Booker? What did he do to you?
Audacity on that guy.
Like, with the Kentucky, too.
I think it's so stupid defending the inbounds guy. Or, like, you're trying to get in his face. Well, like, let him throw it in and just double-team somebody on the court.
Well,
is that the worst idea? Like, just put two guys.
Sometimes they flip it back right to the inbound guy.
Not with 0.9 seconds left.
I was about to say, that was catch and shoot in that situation. That just double-team Booker, or at least put Cousins in the paint and let him just sit, stand in the rim.
Well,
like,
I would go the opposite. I think DeMarcus Cousins should have been sent to the locker room. Like, again, Ty Lue, who's been really good, and maybe Ty Lue wants to be down 0-2. That's when he makes his adjustments, but, like, I mean, like, DeMarcus Cousins can't jump over two phone books right now. Like, what the hell is he going to do out there in that situation?
That's
like, Nicholas Batum's 6'11" and can jump. Like, he should be out there guarding the inbound or standing in front of the rim. Like, he has a better chance of doing that. Zubac can't fall for the back screen. Like, you can't let Devin Booker hit you at the back screen. You have to know that's coming. If you're going to let, like, DeAndre Ayton pop out for a jumper, go for it, man. Yeah. Like, you're not going to beat me at the rim. And he got beat at the rim. And I thought that was just poor execution by the Clippers. It sucks.
Mm-hmm.
They had a chance to even the series and, you know, maybe get Kawhi Leonard back, at least feel good about home court advantage, and they blew that, and now maybe it's one of those that you just kind of get swept. Or maybe you get off the mat because you've been down 2-0
before.
Yeah, but in those first two games in both series, I don't remember them, like, losing quite in that fashion. Now, the Jazz games were close, but, like, not like that. And, of course, the Mavericks games weren't even really close. So
And they had Kawhi Leonard.
And they had Kawhi Leonard, which I think is important. But it's one of those things we'll play the result. If they come out and lose game three, it's, you're devastated. If they win, be like, okay, they're back in the series. Maybe the favorites. Who knows?
And, like, with campaign, he is giving you everything you could possibly need. Being a good glue piece.
He wasn't even a glue piece last night. He was their best player last night.
He's been the glue throughout these playoffs, just being able to weather the early Chris Paul injury.
Yep.
And now, even without him, you're putting up 9 assists right now?
Yeah, 29 points, 9 assists. I mean, he was great, and he was just one of those guys left for dead.
Yep.
I do think campaign should be, and probably will be, the poster boy. You remember what Draymond Green said a couple years ago? He was talking about... Hell, which one of those guys was he talking about that, like, never got a that always, like, got passed around teams?
Was it Quinn Cook?
No, it was the big tall guy. There was a big tall guy who kept getting passed around. Team to team. Had all the physical tools. Never could piece it together. Ah, man. I could picture him, but I can't think of his name.
It wasn't Deontay Davis.
Not Davis. Similar to that, though. I'll get the name here in a second. But Draymond basically went on a rant and was like, we always talk about the players falling, but not the organization's failing players. Like, the organization letting guys seep through the cracks and, like, letting guys develop. Like, it's always the players' fault when they don't develop. Sometimes you get these guys in the right place and they'll thrive. Like, campaign was left for dead in Chicago. Like, you had the GM come out, basically, or the coach. Somebody come out and was like, this guy, on the second practice, we knew he couldn't play in the NBA.
Yeah.
But no, we could get hype on the sidelines with Russ. After all those handshakes and everything.
I mean, that's all he was. That's the guy he was in, you know, 2015 or whenever it was. Like, that's kind of what he was. But he worked on his game, and he got into the right situation. And, you know, maybe it's Booker and Chris Paul and Monty Williams that helped get him there, or maybe it just takes a player some time to develop. But either way, he was left for dead, and now he's one of the better stories in the entire sport.
Yeah, oh, absolutely.
Sports in general, like seeing a guy again that was just basically a bubble invite because they needed bodies. And now look at him, you know, leading them to game 2 victory. And he was good in the Lakers series, too.
Yep. Yeah, he's been really good.
What was this, 9 straight for the Suns, too, in the playoffs?
Yeah.
Whew.
Suns
Man.
Yeah, nine straight. Nine straight. They've been pretty good.
Yeah, a little bit.
I still don't know how I think that series would have gone had Anthony Davis not gotten hurt. Like, maybe they would have rallied, and they looked dead to me after game three. Just, like, spiritually.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Booker was frustrated. Or not game three, I guess it was game four. Right? They're down. They were down 2-1.
They were down 2-1. They won game four. Okay. Yeah, they won three straight.
That's when, right, that's when. Marquise Chriss was who I was talking about, by the way.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, he's a good sign.
He's a good little piece.
No, he wasn't. Like, he should have been. Like, but like that was what Draymond was saying. Like, Draymond was trying to get his back. It was like, this guy has a chance to be a good player, but everyone just keeps quitting on him, and he keeps getting in bad organizations, and we're going to make it work. And then they didn't, and he ended up gone from them too. But, you know, it doesn't always work, but with campaign, it did.
Mm-hmm.
With campaign, it did. It used to be guys like Brennan Wright that got Anthony Randolph, Tyus Thomas. Like, it used to be like just those athletic guys that just never got the, you know, that kept bouncing around leagues with potential. JaVale McGee.
I mean, JaVale got a ring.
Well, he did, but JaVale McGee was a punchline. I mean, he got a ring as like a vet minimum guy on the Warriors, and then all of a sudden he became like, you know, in the Lakers. Like, okay, JaVale McGee's kind of a champion. And then he was back to the Nuggets and barely getting
around.
Off the bench.
He was clowned a lot. He was always a guy on like the Shaqton stuff.
He was one, like, the only thing you knew him from was two things. You knew him from Shaqton a fool, because Shaq like would legit make him mad. Like, JaVale McGee wanted to fight Shaq.
Yeah.
Because he like made fun of him all the time. And for when his mom came out on the court during the dunk contest and kissed one of those NBA legends. I can't remember which one it was, but she like gave some NBA legend a kiss on the mouth, and everyone was like, whoa.
Wait, what?
She was taking advantage of an opportunity.
Because his mom was like a really good basketball player.
Mm-hmm.
I think her name's Pam for some reason. I think it's Pam McGee, maybe. I don't know. But she came out the dunk contest that he was in, and like she like kissed like one of the NBA legends, and it was like kind of just weird. I remember that happening.
It is Pamela.
Dr. J?
I was going to say Dr. J, but when Tria just kiss, give Dr. J a big smooch before a dunk contest. Those are the two things I knew JaVale McGee from. All of the mistakes he would make and his mom kissing Dr. J.
Huh.
And now he's, what, a three-time champion?
Yeah. Look at him go.
And he was a starter on those teams. Now, he didn't play, you know, starter minutes, but he's a starter. The Suns, you know, I think should feel lucky being up 2-0. Doesn't matter how you get them. You win, and you start thinking team of destiny and all those things. Like, winning clutch games shouldn't, like, make you feel, like, bad about yourself. It should just make you feel like, hey, we stole one because Jay Crowder played bad, and, you know, Mikal Bridges played bad, and Devin Booker didn't play great either, but you were carried by Ayton and Payne. And DeAndre Ayton should make you feel good anyways. Like,
he's good.
I think two things have been put to bed these playoffs. Well, a lot of things, but two things in general. Is like, we're not going to like mock the Hawks and the Suns for the 2018 draft anymore. Like,
nope.
Luka could still be better than Trae Young and DeAndre Ayton, whatever. But like, DeAndre Ayton is a really good piece for the Suns. It makes a lot of sense on that team with Devin Booker. I think he was the right pick for them to take. Mm-hmm. And I think the Hawks, you know, have obviously shown that they've put a good team around Trae Young and can be successful. And that's not saying Luka can't be better than both those guys. Like, all three things can be true. But I don't think you should mock either one of those teams anymore. Yet to be seen about Marvin Bagley. Although we think that, like, he should be mocked. And, like, we'll see what happens with Jared Jackson Jr. But, you know, two of those teams should be safe and not criticized for passing up Luka, in my opinion.
Absolutely.
Like, Ayton looks really good. And, like, Ayton, you know, you said it, Draven, off the air, so I want to make sure you get credit. But, like, you're saying DeAndre Ayton's making, you know, kind of giving you vibes of what Bam did last year.
Yep.
Yeah.
In the bubble.
Having his little breakout.
Mm-hmm. Like, hopefully it goes better for Ayton, because I feel like Bam kind of came back down to earth a little bit this year. Like, Bam raised expectations, and then you thought, okay, he's going to get better again, and then he just kind of came back as a lesser version of himself.
Absolutely. Yeah. I'm happy for Ayton. People were doubting him pretty big time last year, for sure.
Like, I mean, Ayton looks good, and, like, you might head into next season with Ayton being the third best center in the league. I mean, like, I think
he is right now.
Yeah, I mean, like,
you would admit he's better than Gobert, right? Yeah, I mean, you could accept that.
I told you before the show that, like, yeah, I mean, like, if the Jazz called and tried to offer Gobert for Ayton, they'd get laughed off the phone right now.
Mm-hmm.
Now, part of that's contract, but, like, I mean, DeAndre Ayton's a skilled offensive player.
Yeah, he is.
And he's showing that he can at least do something on defense. Now, the thing is, there aren't very many big men that can test you, but Jokic is one of them, and he did a really good job against Jokic.
Got the respect from Jokic, too.
Yeah, Jokic said he's, like, one of the best guys I go up against on defense. So, like, Ayton's showing that he has an offensive game, and it's not been, like, too hard for him, you know, when you have Chris Paul and Devin Booker setting the table for you, but, like, that's going to be the future in Phoenix, is having Devin Booker there to help set the table for you. So, like I said, I think you'll look at Embiid. Jokic, and then Ayton might be number three going into next year. That's the way he's played himself right now. I think the Suns win this series. I thought it before.
Yeah.
I said Suns in five, maybe. Like, I don't know.
Never doubt the Clippers, John. I'm telling you.
My problem is
if Kawhi comes back, though? What if he comes back for game three?
Well, that's what I was going to say. I feel like it's much more like a Chris Paul's back than.
Yeah, I guess they kind of already said that looking like he's going to be back.
I think it's a much more likely that Chris Paul's back without Kawhi. And at that point, like, I just don't know how the Clippers overcome that. Like, if they played this series, the Clippers could win. If they played with Chris Paul and Kawhi, the Clippers could win. I just don't think they can win, you know, what, four of the next five games with Chris Paul coming back and no Kawhi?
Yeah.
That seems too tall of a task.
When do you think they're going to come out and actually tell us what's wrong with Kawhi? I think it's an ACL thing, but it's like, I don't think he can come back this.
Well, they say it was an ACL thing, but they haven't, like, told us if it's a partial tear. Yeah, they just kind of call it a knee sprain right now. But, like, again, what we know from Kawhi doesn't make you think he is going to risk his health, especially as he's set to be a free agent. Although maybe Kawhi just is desperate to win another championship because he loves championships. That's the only thing that.
It's a golden opportunity, man. You're a game away going to the NBA Finals. Or a series away, yeah.
Yeah, I wonder if they were 1-1, if it would be a little different. Like. Mm-hmm. Feels like, obviously, like it doesn't need to be said, but game three is obviously a must win.
Yeah.
And if you're Kawhi, do you come back for game three and risk it? Probably not. So they have to get back to 2-2, I think, before it even becomes a realistic possibility.
I think the Suns building a little dynasty here, a team that could, tear up the West for a little bit.
Well, I mean, I think, you know, I said that that's the only core that I would maybe take over the Hawks. At least, like, their top three. I mean, I think their top three is really, really good between Booker, Ayton, and Bridges. Like, I think that's and if Payne continues to be this guy, which I don't know if I'm buying that all of a sudden.
Yeah.
And I don't know what his contract situation is. And, like, Chris Paul could opt out and demand, you know, them pay him $100 million over 3 years. Like, maybe, like, you know, I don't take campaign into consideration with his core, but yeah, I mean, Bridges, Ayton, and Booker, that's three really good players under the age of what, like 26? I mean, how old's Booker? 25? 26?
25 would be the age.
Cam Johnson can make some shots off that bench, too.
And Cam, he's 24. So, yeah, I mean, Cam Johnson's been good. I mean, that was kind of a draft pick people laughed at, but did he miss a shot last night?
Nope. 5 for 5, 1 for 1 for 3.
Yeah, I was going to say,
he's been good.
It's kind of funny that he's older than Devin Booker. But
I always think of that Kobe White when Cam Johnson got drafted. Wow!
Yeah.
Being so surprised. And then, I mean.
That's awesome.
James Jones has done a good job of building this roster. So, you know, it's hard to say building a dynasty, but, like, I think they'll be in the mix the next 3 or 4 years.
Take, like, LeBron kind of going downhill with the Lakers. Yeah, Kawhi potentially leaving the Clippers. Might go back east. Like, who else you got? Really buying the Jazz and the Nuggets as, like, contenders? I mean.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's going to change from year to year. Like, next year, I mean, like, I think you're going to see the Warriors come back in a big way. Like, I think you'll see them make some type of move with their draft pick and getting Klay back. So, I think, like, I'm not going to pencil the Suns in as, like, the Western Conference champion next year. But, like, they might be worthy of being the favorite. We'll see what the Lakers do. I mean, they're going to try to retool something. Like, LeBron ain't just going to sit pat like with Dennis Schroeder and run it back. Like, they're going to try to do something. Maybe try to get Ben Simmons. I don't know. We'll see.
These last two games without Chris Paul, a couple games without Chris Paul, have they proven that they are good enough without him that they can be good, or they're just kind of weathering the storm and winning barely without him?
Well, I think they're proving that they can be good without him. I don't think they can win a championship without him. Although, maybe this year, who knows? I mean, could they beat this Bucks team? I don't think so, but...
be tough.
Could they beat this Hawks team, though?
Like, next year without Chris Paul, like, I wouldn't think they'd be the 2 seed.
Yeah. Like, back to that 4-5 area. Solidly in the playoffs,
Maybe even the 6-7. I mean, the West is pretty damn good. So, like, unless Booker's, like... taking the jump into being a top 10 player. Like, I mean, if he's a top 10 player, then yeah, sure. They're in a good space, though, and James Jones has, again, made a lot of the right moves. Bringing Crowder in.
Yeah, he has.
Been a good move. Finding campaign, been a good move. Dario Saric was a part of the process in Philadelphia and just kind of cast it aside. And, I mean, he was out there playing minutes, important minutes in game two.
Man, even the trade of Torrey Craig.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Gosh.
Yep. You have to feel good if you're a Phoenix fan. Obviously, you're two wins away from getting to the finals. Stick with us as Talk Sports on Fan Run Radio. Game one tonight, Eastern Conference Finals.
Uh-oh. Getting a little nervous?
Let's go! Bro, when have I been nervous this entire playoffs?
It is true.
That's a good point.
When has he been nervous?
Confident the whole time. I give you respect for that, Cam.
This is the first series, though, that I think we have a threat of losing.
What? You just lose your confidence? What the hell is
that? No, I'm still confident, but I'm just saying this is the only one that like I would be like, oh, that makes sense.
Well, I knew for a fact we weren't losing to the Knicks. I was never, ever worried about that one. It's got to be offside.
Nice.
Was that offside?
No, that was good.
I had zero concern ever.
Yeah, the Knicks weren't a threat.
With losing to the Knicks. The Sixers, I could have seen a scenario where you lost that one. I mean, it was in Game 7. I was a little nervous.
Yeah.
I mean,
once we won Game 1, I knew we had it.
I thought we had it after Game 1 as well. I feel better about this Bucks series than I do the Sixers series, honestly.
Okay. Oh, really?
Whoa. Yeah. Oh, that's not offside, is it?
Nice. Why is that?
Because the Bucks have three good players. Yeah, they got three good players.
That's fair.
And the rest of the roster, I think, is pretty bad.
Yep. I do think we're a lot deeper team. Like, obviously, like we kind of talked about it earlier, I think they've only been playing like 6-7 guys most of the time.
Yeah, I mean, their last game against the Nets, I want to say like the only guy they really brought off the bench was Pat Connaughton. I mean, you might have a guy get like some free throw subs and like register on the thing, but I want to say that it was pretty much just Pat coming out, you know, playing significant minutes for them.
Yep.
Pat Connaughton played 23 minutes. Bryn Forbes got 5 in a 53-minute game.
Jeez, yeah. Yeah.
Thonis Antetokounmpo played 1 minute, so like, yeah, like they really only have 6 guys they trust. And of those 6 guys, I think only 3.5 of them can really score. Like, Lopez can get you some buckets around the rim, that's fine, but like, Lopez can't create a shot.
Mm-mm.
Went 3-for-4 on threes.
No, I mean, Lopez could sometimes be a spot-up shooter, although like 3-for-4, that's a clutch performance in him and get from Game 7, but like his three-point shooting's kind of gone down.
Yeah.
From whenever he like kind of rediscovered it, like he's only been a 34% shooter this year. He hasn't shot near as many, 21% his last 10 games. Like, I thought Game 7 was kind of an aberration. If he wants to sit outside and shoot threes against the Hawks, by all means, do it. Yeah, I mean, I'm fine if he does that.
With the Capella show, jeez.
I think I'm just trying. I'm wondering who we're gonna put on Giannis. I mean, it's either gonna be John or Capella.
Guarding Giannis, I think, is going to be a one of those raise your kids by the village type of mentality.
Yeah,
like,
yeah,
takes
sense.
A village to raise a child. Like, yeah. I think you're going to see just a whole bunch of different looks on Giannis because you don't have one defender that can guard him. Now, hopefully, Cam Reddish is back. He's questionable. If he's not back tonight, hopefully he's back for at least Game 2 or Game 3.
Such a good upgrade.
Because you're going to need some wing minutes.
Yep.
John Collins is going to guard him some, which John Collins, I thought John Collins deserved a lot more credit for the way he guarded Tobias Harris. I know we all kind of laughed at Tobias Harris, but like I thought Collins did a pretty good job defensively. I think Capella can give you a couple minutes. And like you'll take your chances on Giannis of making him shoot jumpers.
Yep.
Much like Brook Lopez, every 3 Giannis shoots, fine by me. Pack the paint. But no, I feel much more confident against the Bucks than I do against the Sixers, so it's surprising for me.
That's surprising you say that for me,
honestly. Really?
Yeah.
Like all year long, the Sixers were better than the Bucks.
Yeah, like...
Yeah, but... We know, like, they're choke artists a little bit, too.
So are the Bucks.
Well, the Bucks have the best
Giannis
player. Like, we could say Giannis is better than Embiid.
I mean, this year has been even. Like,
Middleton's better than the Sixers second. What, Ben Simmons? We could agree with that. Better Middleton's better. Holiday. Like, they have better players. Maybe the Sixers have more depth. That's about it.
By the way, the Sixers'
depth didn't really come out any either.
I think
you've
changed your tune on Middleton. I think before.
I'm not saying he's good, but he's better than Ben Simmons.
I think we can all agree
with that.
I think if I asked you after Game 2, you'd have talked about how close Middleton and Tobias Harris were.
I don't know.
It's easy to say now, but you were mocking Middleton.
I don't think he's good.
I really don't. I don't think he's good, but he's still better than, again.
Full of Middleton hate.
I think he was pretty comparable to what Tobias did, I mean, this year.
Yes.
Yeah.
Now, you know, if you want to talk about Tobias in the playoffs, you know, I'd listen to that because he's got a little bit of a record of underachieving. But I just don't want to act like Middleton's some stud all of a sudden.
That's what I'm saying. I'm just saying I think
he's
better than
what... He's a good quality player.
I think he's better than what the Sixers have. I think he is. Like you said, just as good, if not better than Tobias.
I think it's pretty comparable. Like, I think Embiid's pretty comparable. I think, I mean, obviously it's a bad time to make this case, but, like, I don't think anybody was really beating the drum for Jrue Holiday being much better than Ben Simmons either. Now, I know it's a bad time to make that case after what happened this last series, but Ben Simmons pretty damn good, or at least was before the Hawks series. So I think we're underestimating that the Sixers were the 1 seed and the number 2 defense in the league. Keep in mind, like, was it not Game 2 you said the Bucks are going to get swept by the Nets, which I'm not saying you're wrong about that. No, I'm not talking about the injuries. I'm talking about what the perception of the Bucks was before Kyrie got hurt. And now all of a sudden they're supposed to be some juggernaut. Yeah. That's just not what I'm buying.
I think it's absurd, like how heavily they're favored in this.
That's why I'm saying I'm surprised you say that you think the Hawks can lose. Will have a chance of losing this series when you didn't think they would the first two series? Because I thought the Sixers were better than them all year. And again, I'm not making fun of that take, Draven, because Kyrie got hurt. That changed the math. I'm not saying that, but they were left for dead, and Giannis can only be a number two, and all the things we said about Bud, all of those things just disappear because Kyrie got hurt and James Harden couldn't move.
Yeah.
To me, that's just I'm not buying that. All of a sudden, we've turned the Bucks into some heavy favorite. To me, they're a pretty flawed team.
Yeah, I agree. I do agree.
No, they do still have the best player in the series. That's fine. Giannis is still better, the best player in the series, and if he plays creatively, offensively, and they did figure some things out in Game 7 and got some better looks, and if Brook Lopez hits threes, I'm not acting like this is going to be a cakewalk for the Hawks by any means. Yeah. I hope the Hawks win. Yeah. I still find it hard to believe, my team's going to go to the finals, so I don't want to go full-fledged picking them. Until
I think that may be why I'm a little hesitant, because we've never been here before.
Never won a conference finals game. You know, we got to the 1-15 and got swept, so.
Whoa.
I'm just saying, I look at this Bucks team, and I thought the Sixers were better. I have much more confidence in our chances of beating the Bucks in a series.
I just, for me, it's the whole Giannis being a matchup issue if he gets it rolling a little bit, and Bogdanovich being banged up. I think we need him. I know he didn't play great, and he hasn't really played great in the playoffs as a whole. But
now that's fine. If you want to talk about Bogdanovich's injury, that's 100% fine. I will.
I think it's more us than them is what worries me a little.
Okay,
bit.
If you're talking about that, that's fine. But talk about matchup issues. I mean, all due respect to Clint Capella, but I thought Embiid versus Capella is about as much of a mismatch as Giannis against any of these guys. Embiid can actually punish you. With Giannis, we've seen in the playoffs, just build a wall, bro.
Yeah.
You got a better chance of stopping that. You can't build a wall around Embiid.
Still scored 40 points in Game 7 against the Nets.
He did.
But also, the Nets don't have a big guy like Capella.
They don't, but also, I'm just looking at the narrative change, because before the series, we would have all agreed, the Nets ain't necessarily a defensive
You can say that before the series. That's fine. Keep saying that. But the Bucks kind of proved a little bit. You got to at least admit that. Giannis scoring 40 points in Game 7. Big performance in Game 6 as well.
That's not what I was going to say. What I was going to say is no one gave the Nets credit for being a top defensive team. We talked about them being one of the worst defensive teams in the league. And then the first two games out of the, out of the series, they score 85 points.
Mm-hmm.
So the Bucks offense still has some issues for me is what I'm getting at.
And Hawks have been good defensively, as much as they can be when you're playing against an Embiid.
I do think that is underrated. The Hawks defense, they've been a really physical team. Yeah. Both series.
Exceptional.
I don't think they're scared.
The switches has been so they've switched so well. It's been beautiful at times.
I want to say, I might have this off a little bit, but I know they won Game 7, and you're gassed, and that's hard to judge them at the end of Game 7, but this Bucks team went, I think, from the 5-minute mark of the regulation all the way down to the 1:40 mark of overtime with zero field goals.
Yeah, if you do that, if they do that again, I'll take that any day of the week. But
or maybe that one field goal. But it was something ridiculous they were hitting free throws, but I think they had one field goal for a good 6-minute stretch.
Jeez.
So maybe it was the 3-minute mark to the 1-minute mark or something like that. But again, I'm not here for all of a sudden acting like the Bucks are some juggernaut. Now,
Yeah,
I'm not picking the Hawks just yet. I want to see how Game 1 goes, and I'm trying to protect my heart here a little bit.
Still have Hawks in 6, but I do think it's absurd that, they're 8-point favorites tonight. The favorite for them to, win the series, I think, is, them in 5 games. It's
they're, minus 500 to win the series. That seems too high.
No, I agree. I would agree with that, but
I got a text message from you on Sunday saying you think the Hawks could win this series.
So. I do. I really do.
Yeah.
So because of all the things you said, I just do think the Bucks maybe be a little slightly better than the Sixers. That's all I was trying to say. Okay. And also the Sixers, like I said, kind of more choke artists than the Bucks, at least.
The Bucks are a pretty big choke artist too, though.
Come on. Not Doc Rivers.
Sixers.
Have
the Bucks blown 25-plus point leads in the playoffs? I don't think so.
The biggest they've blown is a 2-0 lead against the Raptors.
And then they were up 18 points in game five of that at home. And then gave up, I believe it was a 26-3 run.
Mm-hmm.
Or is it a 16-point lead, I think, and they gave up a 25-3 run or something crazy like that, in game five that year? Yeah. So, they have scars. This has been a great game in Sweden and Poland, by the way.
Yeah, right there.
Sweden jumped up 2-0, 2-0, excuse me. Poland came back, scored 2. Then right now, with 5 minutes of extra time, seems like a lot. You have
they took like a water break and everything, yeah. So they had to factor all that in.
No, I think they actually stopped the clock during the water break, don't they?
It was still rolling when I was looking at it.
I thought that was the only time they stopped.
Then they had a player down for a second, too. But
then Sweden just
scores. That's a tough break for Poland. They needed to pull out a win to advance.
94th minute. That's tough.
Bucks minus 500 to win the series.
And again, the Sixers are chokers, and I'm not acting like they're not, but I think the Bucks still kind of are, too. And Budenholzer's been, much maligned. Like, Budenholzer was 1 inch away from getting fired. If Kevin Durant's foot's behind the line, Budenholzer gets fired.
Yeah.
Immediately after the game.
Absolutely.
They had maybe a 50% James Harden and Kevin Durant. Their second best player was Blake Griffin or Jeff Green
depending on the night.
Yeah. I get Kevin Durant's awesome. I'm not saying he's not, but they barely beat that team.
Mm-hmm. I am happy it's Bud. I feel like he deserves to get knocked out by the Hawks here after letting us get swept in that one.
I've talked myself into a win.
Oh, I'm so in. Hawks in 6.
And
Hawks in the bottom.
The doubt's gone. I'm back to full percent. I had dropped down to 97, but now I'm back to 110. And
Cam, the last time the Hawks and Suns played, I feel like didn't we beat them by 20?
We did bust the Suns.
And we beat them by 20. Just saying.
And that was a full squad too, if I remember correctly.
Mm-hmm. It was when I was in Vegas.
Easy. Mm-hmm.
Just give it to me.
See what happens.
I do want to see Chris Paul versus Trey.
Oh, I would love to see that.
That'd be pretty fun.
That'd be a little no offense to the Hawks, but Suns Hawks would probably be the least watched finals
in the history of finals. No
Have
way.
You not seen the stats? This is kind of wild, but the viewership share for this year's playoffs. So viewership share basically means, yes, the ratings overall are going to be down because people have less TVs, right? There are less millions of people with TV in their homes that are watching these things, but
right.
The viewership share is the percentage of people with TVs in use that are watching the NBA is at its highest since the league first began logging that data in 2002, this year in the playoffs. So I don't know if I believe that because, we said the Sixers-Hawks was the second most watched game, and this is the most people have watched in almost 20 years. We talk about the lack of parity all the time. Yeah. In the NBA, and this season's giving it to you, and so far the viewership has, reflected that they like it. The new blood.
Yeah, you can't tell me people don't want to watch Trae Young shoot from the logo or Chris Paul out there having a shot to get his first ring.
And Booker.
Devin Booker. I mean, Ayton's making a name for himself as well at the time.
Now we'll see if people want to watch, Bucks Clippers, or we'll see if how the TV, viewership goes. Mm-hmm. But, I don't think it's been a disaster by any means. So far it's been a success.
But there's also been, quite a bit of upsets, quite a bit of close games.
Sure.
Yeah.
Sure. And there's a possibility that, it wouldn't gravitate the normal audience, the casual audience. That is perfectly fair. But there's also a chance that people could see, the Hawks and Suns. Didn't these guys just stink? How are they in the finals? Yep. I mean, the Suns won 19 games 2 years ago. The Hawks didn't even get invited to the bubble last year.
Yep. Let's go get this title. Let's go get it.
I've talked myself into it. Man. Giannis. All of a sudden, I'm supposed to be scared of the Bucks. These guys are one tweak. They still almost lost Game 3, even after Kyrie. Kyrie played Game 3.
Yeah,
it was just like that Raptors series, though, because the Raptors, whenever they won the championship, the Bucks were up on that in that game in Game 3 as well. That one went to double overtime, and the Raptors eked out a victory to get into 2-1. I don't know if you remember Game 3 of the Bucks-Nets series, but that was the one where nobody scored the last 6 minutes.
Yeah.
It was 87-85 or something crazy like that. Scared. Milwaukee Bucks, give me a joke. Give me a break. More like the Milwaukee sucks. Hour 2 in the books, hour 3 on deck.